Scorpions Audio. Welcome to Your Making It Worse. We're here, we're queer, who cares? I'm Elliot Glazer.
And I'm Brent Sullivan.
And I'm H. Allen Scott. Textual healing.
So, Joey Christel is a meteorologist and risk analyst for the Maryland Emergency Management Agency.
Mm-hmm. Sounds serious.
He's also a gay gentleman.
Okay. Mm.
And he's a tornado chaser.
He's a Doppler whore. No,
he's a legitimate tornado chaser.
He's a legitimate tornado chaser and meteorologist, and became obsessed with the movie Twister, which is one of H. Allen's faves.
It is, actually. Yeah.
And so now Joey chased a tornado with his boyfriend, Chris Scott, and then together
with one T. What kind of person is that?
Mm. Yeah, Chris Scott. They both love Twister, and Joey proposed to Chris in front of a Twister in the distance.
Yeah, with a tornado
in Kansas.
He said it all.
And he
just
said yes.
This is what Crystal said. It all just kind of came together and happened so quickly. I was like, okay, this is it.
So his friends snapped the photos of them with Joey down on one knee with the gray tornado looming in the background, and the photo. At the time that this article was published, received almost 6,000 likes on Twitter.
Was there blowback?
Pun intended, but also the the quote was, "the two loves of my life." So it's his fiance and a tornado.
My question
to you, is it charming? Is it insensitive?
It would be disgusting if he was shirtless.
Right.
In the picture.
Sure.
That would be a little
too
much.
Take it to a different level. It's just someone is celebrating their unique passion, and I'm all for anything that is unique and genuine is great.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's like, I don't understand tornado chasing. It actually seems terrifying to me. I come from a part of the country where, you know, for 6 months of the year, you're living in terror of tornadoes.
Too.
Yeah, it's really bad, and so I would never do that, but the fact that these two really love tornadoes and they're able to capture that moment in a really sweet way, it's charming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is charming. I mean, it is charming. Because to me, it's charming because it's weird.
It doesn't seem like an Instagram stunt.
Exactly.
It feels, I mean, on appearance, you can look at it like an Instagram stunt. And
sure.
I will admit, before reading like the stuff that you sent, I thought it was an Instagram stunt.
So this is what I hate. I hate people that do crazy things that endanger other people's lives. I mean, I guess everyone hates that. I'm not taking a bold stance. But, like, someone who will put their family in a boat and take their family across the Pacific Ocean, and in the process, because they bring their children, are endangering. There was a famous couple did this. They endangered the lives of rescue workers because they got stranded. Mm-hmm. I hated that guy from Man on Wire.
That guy.
I hated that movie.
I liked that movie.
I hated it because it was like this ridiculous fantasy that what he was doing was beautiful, even though I absolutely
he was walking on a wire between the Twin Towers, right?
Yeah, that's right. There was that documentary a couple years back.
It was a good doc.
I hated it. But I just, it's like when you're in theory endangering other people's lives and impacting the lives of those around you, then get over your fucking ego, you know? With that said, this to me was more charming because, yes, you're endangering your life, but this is what you do for a living.
Well,
you know how to read stuff.
And this was a group of
friends. And this is
friends.
A group of people who are involved in this pursuit.
And I would assume, since he does work for the Maryland Emergency Management Agency, he probably took some precautions in where he probably even knew the direction of the storm.
Well, yeah, the idea was that they and their mutual friends set out to catch a tornado in Kansas, and that tornado inspired a National Weather Service to issue a tornado emergency for several counties, but the group began their tornado watch in Salina, Kansas, and then followed the storm to Tipton, Kansas, where he popped the question.
He's from Maryland, though, right?
He was a risk analyst for the Maryland Emergency Management Agency.
Tornado chasers, they go all over the place.
That's true.
Now, can we talk about go ahead.
I was going to say, can we talk about tornado culture? Because I remember as a kid, you would hear those tornado sirens, and I would freak the fuck out. Mm. And it would happen maybe, what, once a year?
What do you have, basements that you, is that like a
yeah,
lot
you
of
run
cellar?
Into the basement.
Yeah, or
like,
depending upon your house, you get in the bathtub.
Yeah.
Of them.
You get in the bathtub.
The bathtub often stays like part of the framework of the house. So if anything falls.
So the whole family gets in the bathtub?
Well, no. Well, I mean, it's like, it's the things you take, like if you don't have a basement or if it's too late, oftentimes, you have to find certain areas. So like you get in a ditch or you get in, like there are things that you do.
Like if you're on the highway, you're supposed to get out
and
of
you
your
learn,
car and get into a ditch.
You learn all these things as a kid because you don't. I mean, I remember we had a house when my grandparents were living out in sort of middle Missouri that half of their house was like just ripped off the side part of the house.
Wow.
And it, I mean, they weren't there at the time, thank God. But like it's really scary.
Yeah.
I, though, being a piece of shit little child, loved that. I loved when we had tornado issued in or even tornado drills, but primarily just tornadoes in my family because all of the good snacks were in the basement. So whenever there was like a tornado coming through and it was like bad rain and my stepmom would be terrified and like some people would be crying and it was a whole thing, I'd be sitting down there eating those little cheese ball things, you know what I mean? Being like, I'm loving
waiting
it.
For the tornado.
I'm loving it. I want more tornado. Bring me a Pop-Tart.
Did you see them, the tornadoes? And
I saw one tornado once. I was in Iowa. I was in Kansas, and because my aunt was in Kansas, and there was a tornado that went there, and you saw in the path, like you saw where shit was coming from, and it wasn't like what you see in the movies and stuff. It was like you just saw a lot of wind coming together, and immediately everyone was like, to the basement.
Wait,
now.
What the fuck was Twister about? I know it's about a Twister.
Well, Twister's a cute little love story about storm chasers.
So it's Helen Hunt and Bill Paxton?
God, it was Helen Hunt's breaking point. It was Helen Hunt being like, listen, I'm on Mad About You, but I'm a serious actress. And then what did she do? Twister in 96? What happened in 97? She won an Oscar!
Yeah.
But for As Good As It Gets.
Yes. Okay. But Twister, I don't think she would have gotten As Good As It Gets if it wasn't for Twister.
She also did Castaway. Don't forget about that.
Yes. That was years later.
Mm-hmm.
That was years
what later. Was the, so the idea, so they were what, love struck?
Well, no. So they had, I believe they had dated previously and then they weren't. And they both were kind of storm chasers working for different people.
Right.
Yeah. And there was, I haven't seen it in years, but there was like a massive storm coming, like a insane,
a big ass storm
that they wanted to get, and they had to get this ball that would that could
thing.
Read
they had
the
to
storm
get this truck close to the.
Mm-hmm. Philip Seymour Hoffman was in it, and he had to like throw the ball or get the ball out of the truck into the center of the storm so that they could read the data from the storm and potentially figure out how these storms move. That was, I think,
the
point
in theory.
But in the process, Bill Paxton and Helen Hunt.
Discovered
fell in love.
Their own.
I actually had a weird crush on one of the storm chasers in that movie, and it's a girl.
Oh, which one?
Oh, wow.
The one, I don't even know her name, but she had kind of like one of those weird lips.
Hair lip?
I don't know.
I don't know if it's a hair lip, but like her lip goes down.
Uh-huh.
Was that your first girl crush?
Can you explain what I'm doing?
You're pressing on the sort
of
like upper,
center of your lip.
The center of your lip,
upper
and you press
lip.
It down. Some people have that lip. It's like there's like a bit of a divot there, but I find it very cute.
Wow.
Have you noticed that before?
I loved Helen Hunt in that movie. I especially loved that when the storm came through, she and Bill got like blown up and their legs are dangling in the air and they're holding on for dear life. And it's just, I love when people hold on for dear life.
I know.
I just love it. I love anything. Like even like Wizard of Oz tornado, like I should be scared of these because I grew up with them and I should be really frightened. But no, I love.
Well, they don't. Yeah.
I love the cinematic quality.
You didn't have them
in
New York and Long Island.
No,
they don't get tornadoes at all, right?
You get hurricanes. You know, we get some hurricanes
a little bit. Yeah.
I'm like dying to see like if their wedding is like tornado themed or like, you know.
What if one of them dresses up like the old lady in Twister when they all went to that house? You remember that house?
Yes, I do.
But it should be like a natural disaster themed wedding. That will be deeply insensitive.
I would love it. I would
sign
so
up for that.
RSVP. Yes, I would try. That's a destination wedding. I'm there.
Can you
imagine? You know the drinks will be like, you know, the hurricane.
Right.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Whiskey
hurricane
or something.
Hurricane Joey.
Yeah, right.
Hurricane Joey. Never be a drink maker.
A drink maker?
This is a Hurricane Joey.
Mixologist.
Have you ever seen one of those tornado videos? I mean, there's obviously now because of cell phones, there's a million videos online of people in their houses that are being basically torn apart by tornadoes.
I don't want to watch that.
Yeah, I mean, they survive.
No, but I mean, in a lot of those areas, because that part of the country was so hard hit economically, there are a lot of. My stepmom lived in a trailer park, and they were like homes. I mean, they weren't like on wheels or anything, but Well, I guess they were, but they didn't look like it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
they hid the wheels.
They kind of did because they had like the plants. Deck around and stuff.
Yeah.
But they lived in trailer parks, and there's obviously no basement in a trailer. And so like, because there's so many of that type of housing in that region of the country, when tornadoes hit, it is bad. I mean, there's nowhere for these people half the time to go.
Sure.
And that's where a lot of those videos, I think, are coming from.
Yeah.
I had a friend whose dad was taking him to college. No, he's picking him up from college. And on the way down to Indiana, a tornado hit. And he just pulled over. Like, he saw the tornado. He pulled over to the side of the road. I guess it wasn't huge. And apparently the dad said that he felt his car lift off the ground.
Oh.
But then kind of settled back down and the tornado kept moving.
I don't think I'm going to see Twister just even because of this.
It doesn't seem like that would be...
It's not for me.
That's not for you.
I just love Helen Hunt.
I did think about two of the... So if you guys were going to be proposed to, this would be the best way to do it. Alan, someone should propose to you in the Harry S. Truman Presidential Library.
You mean Michael?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I'm not trying to project that pressure onto him. I was just saying if someone...
A loving
point
partner, yes. Living yes. partner, boyfriend.
I'm not ignoring yes. Michael. I'm just saying.
I know. But that is a great place.
And Elliot, so Michael hint. And Elliot, when is Elliot his happiest? After a Brazilian wax. So someone could propose to Elliot in the waiting room of a Brazilian wax.
Could we? It's with a line, you know, where they give you the line.
Jesus.
Isn't that that's the landing strip, right?
Yeah. Well, ask Elliot. I mean, I'm not the one.
I don't know. I've never had one.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Not even joking.
Hi, Ed Drost.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. Long time no see.
Yes, how are you? Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me to Burbank.
Oh, welcome to Burbank. Isn't
feels
it
good.
Beautiful?
It's gorgeous.
When I was a kid, I used to have this like big book that was called like the big address book. Oh, God, I was such an annoying kid.
What is this book?
It was
what does
a
this
book...
have to do with Burbank?
Yeah, well, what does it have to do with Burbank?
It was a book that was of, like, chase. Addresses of, like, celebrities, quote-unquote.
Oh,
yes. Burbank celebrities.
And it was I would just write to every single person in the
that
book.
That many celebrities lived in Burbank back then?
It was always addresses to studios.
It was their P.O. boxes. I remember I had the same book.
What?
And I was like, that's weird. Leslie Nielsen lives next
to, I missed out on this
book.
No, it's true.
Like,
Toluca
you know,
Lake was very popular. Bob Hope lived there.
Wait, you had the big address book?
Yeah, I mean, because I would try to write celebrities to get like autographs.
I wrote one celebrity three times a year, Madonna.
Did you write? I
wrote Liz Phair, who was like my high school idol, and
even
she never
as a
wrote back.
But were you a weird little kid?
Not about writing celebrities, but I was weird in other ways.
Have you confronted Liz Phair?
I've never
today?
Met Liz Phair, which is
how
insane.
Is that possible?
I don't know.
So Ed is a very accomplished, celebrated, beloved musician,
Grizzly Bear
from the band Grizzly Bear.
Thank you.
But now you,
Roar.
Grizzly Bear is. Where is Grizzly Bear?
Grizzly Bear is alive.
Alive.
We're all alive.
Mm-hmm. Alive and well.
A lot of people had children.
You had
children.
An album come out last year, right? 2018, 2017,
late 2017.
Mm-hmm.
We're live. We actually just played a couple of shows.
Right, I saw that. You did the bowl.
Well, that was last September, but we just did a festival in Long Beach called Just Like Heaven, which was sort of a weird nostalgia for 2007 festival.
That's right.
Which
that's
is
right.
weird that we're already having nostalgia for that already.
Yeah. You had
an amazing music video with one of my favorite people, Busy Phillips. Like, it was such an amazing music video.
It was really fun.
You definitely should watch that, y'all.
I know.
I met Busy at your birthday party. In Palm Springs, where she told me everything about her birth, and I was like, sign me up.
This was she just like testified on Capitol Hill today.
I know she's
incredible.
She's incredible.
I just discovered her, because she's in like a commercial. And I'm like, who is that person? Because she has a hilarious but lovable voice.
She's wonderful.
Yeah, she really
seems very likable.
She's a very loyal. I don't. usually befriend a lot of people that work in like celebrity vibes, and she's like right. such a, because they're flakes, you know.
Yeah,
it's just a fact.
Yes,
they're gonna let you down. But she's busy is one of those. It's true. They really will.
Yeah,
just everyone in LA. Lets
I don't
you
even
down,
try anymore, but they all let you down. You're like, oh, it's okay, no worries.
Yeah,
I didn't care about the dinner.
No, but she's an icon.
okay, so now you're in.
But
the...
she doesn't let you down. Busy will be there.
She never cancels on a dinner.
Literally, pretty much never.
If someone cancels on dinner. Like last minute, will you try to make
plans
again?
That's a real.
Again?
I don't know.
Last
I guess,
wait, wait.
Say, I didn't hear the question.
So if someone cancels on dinner last minute,
yeah,
will you try to make plans again?
It depends on how well I know them.
Yeah,
you know, if
and
it's
the
someone, it's like the tiers of friendship that we all create in our minds. You know what I mean? Like it's like if you've had a couple like encounters where you're like, yeah. this could be fun, but and then in the canceling, you're like. You know what? Let's just let this die.
I did this thing a year ago where I was like, I'm going to start inviting a friend who I see maybe a couple times a year to just drinks on a Thursday night so I can see them and hear more about their life. I just want to get to know my friends better.
That's tender.
I tried.
That's so cute.
Well, it was until I tried it 3 times and all 3 people had no interest. I was like, fuck this shit.
I didn't get an invite.
Well, he sees you more than twice a year.
Ed,
a little too much, so even Alan. But,
so now you're in the...
Don't cancel on dinner.
What,
it's a bad move.
What brought you into music? What brought you into music? Because you were in the, you were, I mean, the...
We're going to go back to like 2002?
I'm going to talk about that. You were the height of indie, cool music in the early aughts. It was crazy.
Late aughts.
But, I mean, I knew Grizzly Bear when I was in school, and it was happening.
Honestly, I did not go to school to become a musician. I went to school to become a journalist / writer. That didn't work out. And then I just started... writing angsty songs in my room.
And you're originally from Boston, right?
I am originally from Boston.
So, okay, so getting into music inadvertently, as you know, you went to school initially for journalism.
Mm-hmm.
How did you find yourself in music professionally?
I got a job doing, essentially editing this, like a more like historical version of a podcast. What was that back then?
Audiobook?
Terry Gross?
It was kind of like that. I used to call them like sort of NPR documentaries.
Got it.
What's the word for
like
that?
Like radio docs.
Yeah.
Radio docs, but pre-pod.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Pre-serial and all that stuff. And I was hired
like a morning edition.
Yeah. I was hired just cut out the ums and the ahs and the
redundancies. And the who's and the what.
Yeah, exactly. All the boring stuff. And so I learned very rudimentary Pro Tools. And then from there... took out like whatever sort of post-college, early gay out life angst into music and then made a couple of friends and then we just went from there and it oddly worked out.
Do you remember that we were friends on LiveJournal?
You know what? You remember that and I don't remember that, but I really am glad that we were.
That doesn't surprise me.
Well, also a lot of my 20s is like a strong blur.
you were great on LiveJournal.
I don't even what did I say?
You just had a very like acerbic presence, but it was still sort of like there was a dreamy fantasy of it all because you were in the band, and it just had this sort of
What were my updates?
What were your updates?
Yeah, was it just like, you know, another day, it's raining.
It was like pseudo goofy pictures, pseudo goofy.
Okay.
But I will say
that's a heavily curated platform now, pseudo goofy.
Pseudo goofy, which you kind of are.
I guess I am pseudo.
See, the thing is, you are totally goofy.
You're very
and that's
goofy.
What I love about you.
Pseudo or
no? I wouldn't even say pseudo. I know you through Elliot. First meeting you, you were silly and goofy, and you had an irreverent way of talking, and it was very stream of conscious and silly. And yeah, you're not even pseudo goofy. You're total goof.
I'll take
it. But do you find like when I met you? Yeah. But I did not expect this. Like I was expecting this sort of like. I don't know, dour, like,
that's what everyone
introverted
thinks.
Musician. Yeah.
Music that's mildly sad and has, like, a couple minor chords in it. People are like, you must be depressed, huh?
The saddest people are the funniest.
And
are
you're
you
literally
okay?
One of the,
well, I'm not saying I'm not depressed.
No, but you're one of the, like...
Please, don't take that from me.
You're very extroverted. You're very funny. You're very goofy. You have a very silly sense of humor. Mm-hmm. Did, you know, I'm just, was that always who you were just growing up?
When you woke up this morning, did you think you'd be told you were goofy five times on the podcast?
You're kind of goofy.
I'm a little goofy. I'm a lot goofy.
I mean, you do add humor into your music videos, and you as a person are very funny. How does humor sort of influence your music?
Not a lot.
Grizzly Bear's so serious. It's very serious.
I mean,
serious.
there's some lyrics that are goofy.
Mm-hmm. Are the other dudes in the band goofy too?
They can be.
Yeah.
Less so, but yes, they can be.
And
let me ask you a question. When you do a show now, because we've talked about this before, when a comedian does a show, it's very direct and distinct whether the crowd likes you or not. And I've always been surprised when I talk to musicians that they feel the same way. That sometimes they'll have a show that I'll be like, that was great. And they're like, that was the worst show. We hated it. Do you still have shows that are like that? That never goes away, I think. And like, what is it about a crowd that you'll pick up on?
It's the energy, I think. Because you can even miss, I've misread a crowd, where I was like, oh, they're so into it, but they were just really drunk. And I was like, all right, well, that's cool.
Right.
But like, you know, I just don't know. And then you go to like, we've literally had shows in like reserved countries. I don't know what you want to call it. Rich Scandinavia and Japan.
Yeah.
Basically. Rich people. I don't know. And they're always just like kind of golf clapping. And then we're like, no encore tonight. And then they like freak out. They're angry. There's like, you know, the student newspapers up in arms, which literally happened once. And
no
then we're
way.
Like, why? We didn't think you liked it. And they're like, we did like it. We are respectful. And I was just like, okay, yeah. I don't know.
European audiences can be like that in a strange way. They're very like,
I have a
they're
theory,
into it, but they're just like,
the further you are away from the equator, the less they're going to clap. That's my theory.
Wait, is Canada like that too?
I just feel like warmer places, even in this country, are just a little more rowdy.
Yeah.
They're a little more fun. Mm-hmm. And then the colder is, people are like, ooh,
I think it's
I don't
because,
know.
Like, you know how, like, you're, like, in certain places where it's not usually hot.
I should get home, it's cold.
So it's when you, like,
it's late night. Shh.
So, like, when Cappuccino. You sweat, you know, and you're embarrassed of, like, having people see you sweat and stuff. But in hot places, when everyone is just like in New York, when during the summertime, everyone's just fucking sweating. It's just a reality of life there. I think it does allow people to sort of chill and just be like, let's get rowdy and crazy and clap a lot and do weird shit, you know? Because I saw your butt sweat.
Yeah.
Also, I just think warm weather breeds a different culture.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's more relaxed.
I don't go on the road much, but every once in a while when I go on the road, I'll do shows, and it so dictates how I walk through the town the next day, or even on my ride to the airport. If I have a great show, I'm like, man, this limo driver is going to be so excited to pick me up. Limo driver, you know, town car. And then, like, if I have the worst show, I'm like, I can't even get a sandwich. I can't even leave my room. Everyone's going to boo me.
Oh, see, I love
I'll be in a town of, like, 500,000 people. It's like, no one knows.
Right.
They already forgot your face,
right,
friend.
Right.
Actually, this relates to you. I love a hotel so much that if I'm going on the road somewhere or doing anything, I will just stay in the hotel just because I love just, like, laying there and, like, having the air conditioning really high and crazy shit. But when I first met you, we had dinner at a sushi place or something, and you were talking about how, like, you know, sometimes, like, you'll go out and you'll Instagram about, like, some hotel experience or some vacation experience or something, and, like, you know, people want to get your thoughts on your social media and what you're doing in your life and the vacations you're going on and places you're going.
And
you get sponsorships. Like, that seems amazing. But B, like, how does your social media sort of, like, mesh with the music and sort of the identity of the musician that people know you for?
I think in general, a lot of people have a similar perspective as you guys were describing earlier, where they think I'm going to be dour.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's like my social media is confusing at first if they're coming from just knowing the music. A lot of people just have found me randomly or, I don't know, from podcasts, you know.
You definitely have a voice on, like, Instagram.
Yeah,
like,
you're one of the you really are one of the funniest Instagram video people that there is.
Yeah.
Take it. Thank you. I don't know. No, I don't really think there's a big marriage. And if anything, it's me, like, not wanting to be, I don't know, what everyone's idea of, like, the indie musician is. Like, meh.
Yeah.
Like, moaning over here.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't.
I'm depressed drinking cold brew today.
How much?
Exactly. I do like cold brew. Yeah.
How much does queerness factor into your music? And I don't know if it speaks. I don't know how much it speaks to Grizzly Bear because you are the only queer one in the group, right?
Mm-hmm.
Has it? Does it factor?
Well, I guess
in?
Anyone can be queer these days.
I would agree.
All it takes is perspective. right? I
mean, but does it impact the music at all? I mean, who's to say?
I mean, in the beginning when it was more of a solo project, I had like a lot more explicit gay lyrics, and then I wouldn't say I was censoring myself, but it just didn't feel as organic to be like talking about cum when I was writing with three straight guys.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But the lyrics are still in there.
Right.
Yeah. In a way, actually, my music life and creative side is so different than my day-to-day. Like, I wouldn't say they're divorced, but they're very separate.
You often go away to create music, right? I remember doing that for that last album.
And it's just like, it's just a different part of my brain. And like, I wish they were kind of more married because it's sort of hard for me to sort of, I don't know how to describe it. Yeah. But they're different. They're different. It's like, I'm not that much fun on the road.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I try to have fun, but I'm also like, I get stressed out, you know, I get anxious. I'm an anxious person.
Mm. Do a lot of gay guys approach you after shows?
Oh yeah. What's the deal like?
All you have to do is just open your phone and it's not about me or anything. It's just anywhere. And you know,
it is about you.
No, it's not though.
I mean,
anyone goes to any city and you open your phone and people are like, hey, you got a dick. What's up? Like, you know, it's like literally that's what the apps are for. I mean, I don't use them that much, but when I have.
Yeah,
like,
but you're so public. If you're going to a show or to a city.
I mean,
for
I
a
used
show.
To do when I was like, wow, we have like 20 guest lists to fill in like Helsinki. I'd just be like, well, let's just open up Grindr and invite strangers.
You did that?
Yeah, I did it so many times.
That's
amazing.
Oh my God.
Amazing.
Yeah. And was that just an easy way to.
No, I actually didn't usually, sometimes I did, but I didn't usually follow through. It was just more like, might as well fill the room a little more.
With, yeah.
It's kind of like, we've got these spots, we don't know anyone. There's just an easy way to fill it. If they're, I mean, a lot of times they didn't come, they'd be like, totally.
Yeah.
And they're like, indie, you say?
Imagine bringing up.
What did you say?
Indie, you say? Oh.
I also love the idea
of
like.
Is that like Robin?
right. In every part of Scandinavia.
Bringing Grindr to the door guy at like a rock venue.
Oh,
and being
my
like,
God.
Hey, can I get in?
That's
like,
me.
Excuse me?
This is also kind of irreverent, but. In that sense, like, what is there is and was there like a groupie element to your life musically ever?
I mean, we're talking about my career as if we're some like Aerosmith or something. Like, we're not, okay? Like, we walk outside the door and ask one person on the street, they're not gonna have any fucking idea who we are.
You don't
like,
think so? I mean,
no, absolutely not. Burbank?
well, I mean, you were in a you're part of a
yeah, but you know, it's a niche audience. It's not like that though, you know. It's not like crazy drugs and like fancy hotels or any of that. Actually,
right.
It's very like gotta like save money because every day is there's a cost ahead. Like you know, like
I think Holiday Inn Express.
You had there was an amazing article.
No, not that bad, but I mean, in the beginning, yes, a lot of couch surfing and stuff. But I mean,
because there was an amazing. Cover article that you did in the New York Magazine, right?
Mm-hmm.
Years ago, that was like about the economy of being in an indie rock band.
That was, we got fully fooled on that one.
Really?
Yeah, the magazine was like, oh, we just want to do like a story about you guys because we love you guys. And we're like, that's amazing. Like,
cover
of a magazine back when people read magazines. And it was so crazy, and we were just so excited. And then they were like, psych, it's like a clickbait article.
right, right.
It's all about, like, indie artists being like, man, we can't make money. And it was just like, what the fuck? We got, like, totally fooled, and it was annoying.
There was an article in the New York Times many years ago about comedians and how much they make, what they make at different levels of success.
Never answer that question, matter how little or lot you make.
I mean, I couldn't wrap my head around. I knew a couple of the people in the article, but there was one person in particular, God love them. I'm not even going to give gender pronouns. But this person just like so openly talked about how they made $0 and actually lost money because they had to buy props.
Mm-hmm.
And I just was like, why would you say that? I just don't know why you would like tell world.
Susie Orman would disagree. She says talk about it.
There's nothing wrong with not making money, by the way. But like, I just wouldn't tell everyone.
We kept avoiding the subject because we were like, this is so weird. Like, this doesn't really have to do with like our process, you know?
Yeah.
And then they were like, so like, who has health insurance? I was like, what the fuck? Like, and they just like, how big is your apartment? And I was like, what are you talking about? 400 square feet. Like, wow,
that's weird.
And then it was like, we started to be like, wait, let's not answer. And then it came out and we're like, Yeah. So annoying.
I want to pivot the conversation a little bit. In 2016, one of the things that I love about artists, especially artists who have any influence, even if it is a niche sort of audience, is using their platform to like talk about change and sometimes even get politically involved, but also like getting involved in.
Yeah, you were very politically active in 2016.
In 2016. And also like.
To a fault.
To a fault. Yes.
Like, I mean, no, I think it was amazing. It was so great because it showed your audience, it allowed your audience to engage in a different kind of way that maybe allowed them to do a different type of Google. You know what I mean? To search a little bit more about the issues and talk about the issues a little bit more. Do you plan on doing that in 2020? Do you plan on getting more involved, and because the whole band was involved, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, like, we were. I mean, I was a surrogate for Bernie Sanders, and yeah. We played one of his rallies, and I went to schools and like spoke to like students about that I liked him, basically.
Yeah.
I would like to, but I don't know. I mean, I really feel like it's important for people with any sort of public voice to speak up, but then at the same time, I think I was sort of like a little too pedal to the metal on that then.
You think?
I think it was pretty heavy-handed. I just was overusing it and was like, I was like lost in my own head in this way. I mean, I was passionate, so that's cool, but it was definitely like a little like, I don't know, I look back and I'm like,
I hope we all take a step back in 2020.
I don't think we should. At the same time, I'm like, we shouldn't because it's terrifying what's happening, but I also am just like, for me, social media, I'm just like, you know, boundaries.
Well, I think in 2016, the lesson from 2016 and what you're saying is that, like, you know, we got so lost in our passion that we didn't hear anybody else's passion. Like, we were so focused on what we wanted to see change.
I feel like we had a couple, like, words between us.
Oh, you and I definitely did. Yeah. But it was all because, and I mean, I always supported,
like. It's like, I remember.
I remember.
No, I mean, it wasn't.
Not for me.
But it was a time, and I think everyone was in that boat, where we so were shocked by what was happening, well, on the Republican side, and we stopped really listening to each other. And I think what you said, Brent, is true. Like, hopefully in 2020, we stopped being so passionate to the point where we don't hear anybody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
I've already blocked like 8 people.
Really?
Already?
Just because they've taken stances that are so dumb.
Yeah.
That I'm like, I can't deal with this.
No, but I do think you should.
But I'm trying to be
use
a little
your voice
more
in 2020.
Open.
Like, you know.
Yeah. I don't even have like a favorite front runner now for the Democratic candidate.
So you're not even into Bernie again? Even though you
I
push?
Am, but I'm like, there's so many amazing candidates this time, personally. Like, it's like last time I was just like Hillary and Bernie.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, there that's easy for me.
Because there was no choice.
Personally.
There. There
but
no
now
middle.
There's like so many people that I think are great.
Mm-hmm. I'm becoming more.
I'm like, Warren's probably my favorite.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Warren is continuing to impress me in a way that is just like making me feel everything.
I thought you hated a lot of the candidates running this year.
No, not at all.
Not hated, but I thought you were underwhelmed. We've had this conversation.
I want Joe to go home.
Oh, okay.
What'd you say?
I want Joe to go home.
You do? No,
go
Joe.
Go home, Joe.
I'm on the fence with Joe, but I also, the
enough
numbers.
Is enough.
The numbers do
I know,
like,
I know,
terrify me that it's like, it's just, I know. Is he the only one
but
that
I don't
can?
Even think people are, it's so early.
I know.
So early.
It is. It is. But it does scare me at this point. But I know, I do think what I love about 2020, and I think what you did in 2016 that could only be better in 2020, is that we do have such a wide field that there is such
I mean,
a large
discussion.
There
probably was a wide field then. I just didn't know. I didn't pick up
there really
the
wasn't.
End.
There were it's three. Just, there
yeah,
were
that's,
three.
What I, that's what I thought. But I'm yeah. like, maybe in the beginning there were a lot more.
And who was
I
the Baltimore mayor that ran?
O'Malley.
Or governor? Yeah, O'Malley. And he left right. after the first primary. Yeah. It's like, it's
he
no.
never cracked
2%. It felt
2%.
Very narrow. Now there's a ton.
Narrow.
But
yeah.
I wasn't tuning in a year before.
Yeah.
That's the other thing.
Yeah.
You're a foodie. You're a traveler.
I know. Well, there's... I'm trying other things right now.
Yeah, yeah. What's the coolest place you have been to in the last year? Because you travel a lot.
I do. Well, my favorite was just with Simon.
Where'd you guys go?
We went in April to Japan.
Simon's your boyfriend.
Yes.
And
Simon's
amazing.
My boyfriend.
I love
incredible.
Him.
It was so amazing. We had a great trip.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being here.
Where should people follow you, Ed?
I'm just on Instagram.
Instagrabble?
Edrosti.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much
thanks
for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And another thing.
I thought it would be interesting to talk about unsung queer icons to
this
all
was,
of
this
us.
This was a fun one.
Yeah, the idea that there are many icons.
Everyone knows Beyonce.
Everyone knows Beyonce.
Yeah, I mean, everyone knows the Ellens, the Madonnas, like the people who are out there who are like are who are known for being queer icons.
Right, mm-hmm. and
the Golden Girls.
But even like activists, Marsha P. Johnson. You know, you don't know her?
No.
Oh. You don't know Marsha P. Johnson?
Marsha P. Johnson?
It does sound like I'm making it up.
She's credited. She was a black. At that time, she called herself a drag queen, but I think she probably.
She was transgender.
She was trans primarily and by modern standards. And she is credited with, quote unquote, not throwing the first brick, but she was at Stonewall. She was like a big activist at Stonewall.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, great. Oh, good.
No, she's great. You should
I didn't mean to scoff.
No, I love it.
I'm sure I'm going to get some. Letter. I will never listen to your podcast ever. Yes. You son of a bitch.
But with all that being said.
So deep cut queer icons.
Yeah, deep cut queer icons. Somebody who meant something to you for a reason that might not seem obvious to the rest of the world or the queer community. I can start if you want.
Yeah, go ahead.
For me.
Clear your throat.
Yeah, sorry.
Before you start, I will say I read your list to Michael earlier, and he was like, "Who are these people?"
Yeah, yeah. Well, that will be a lot of explanation, and will be I think
Dave,
part of this.
Dave Koz is a jazz musician, and I just love that he's an out jazz musician. David Kasp created the show Happy Endings, in which Adam Pally's character Max was. The very first time I felt like I saw myself mirrored in a gay character on TV. Right. Someone like Howard Stern, you know, obviously I'm a big Stern fan, and often explain to people with the sort of disclaimer that I'm a fan of Howard now, I'm a fan of Evolved Howard, the Howard who released this recent book, Howard Stern Comes Again, and who the man that he's become. And subsequently, he also had a member of his Whack Pack, which is like the Merry band of characters or whatever, named Joey Boots. And Joey was this...
He passed away recently.
He passed away a couple years ago.
A couple years.
Yeah, he was this like morbidly obese veteran who made it his job to buoy bomb newscasts. So he would, anywhere, if there was a newscast around New York, he'd be the first to literally run behind them screaming... Baba Booey, Baba Booey, Howard Stern's penis, Baba Booey, Baba Booey.
Right.
And he was this big, crazy, goofball weirdo who came out later.
Okay, so he's gay.
sorry.
I know.
All right, so let's see.
Sorry, he's gay. And that was literally like just a part of his personality.
Yeah.
And the idea of him, he would like hit on other Whack Packers and was like aggressive about it.
Sometimes it's charming that you see, a group of straight friends that are embracing of their gay friend.
Yeah.
And I do think it's important for people to kind of hear that.
Yeah. Well, the idea that Joey Boots, this like goofball character on the Howard Stern show, who was like a menace.
Yeah. Only Glenn Beck had that kind of guy on his program.
but ultimately, like, even though he was kind of like a goofy character.
Yeah.
He represented something different for the audience that I think, you know, changed their minds
I'll take some. I think I have people have heard of. I'm joking. I put Ryan Felipe primarily for his butt pictures in cinema. I do think he's a queer icon because we talked about that with a past guest, Ryan O'Connell, how important Ryan Felipe's butt was to my queer identity. Like, lots of masturbation there.
Sure.
I also put Hillary Clinton.
Okay. Because this is a bit of a curveball list so far.
No, I think she is because she was like the first representation of like, you know, someone who didn't care what society said and she just was this like, you know, independent first lady who didn't bake the cookies, basically.
Which is great.
It's kind of like a statement for me as a kid being like, oh, you can be different things.
That's very true.
I also said the Sears catalog underwear section, which was like, I do think was, and it doesn't even have to be Sears. It could be any underwear section in the men's catalog. But it was like so much time was spent looking at bulges.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful that they were so artful in that.
Sure.
Also, any straight man that was willing to show their dick to a gay dude was an unsung queer icon.
Okay, who are these straight men that we're talking about?
There's some out there.
People in your town?
I'm sure some of the Howard Stern crew would show their dicks to Joey.
Oh, they show more than that.
You know, Paula Poundstone was another one that I think is an unsung queer icon.
Wait, I need the Cabbage Patch Kids?
Yeah, Cabbage Patch Kids were very queer. They were like this weird, like, I don't know. They just were this, they came out of a cabbage. cabbage. Like, how queer is that? And they were just, like, different. And having a Cabbage Patch, me wanting a Cabbage Patch doll was queer enough.
Right.
So, like, in some way.
Sure.
It was just queer. It was a queer toy.
We've used Jim J. Bullock's name as a sort of punchline on the show.
I'm serious about that.
Yeah,
one,
tell me why he's a serious queer icon.
Jim J. Bullock was sort of the Sean Hayes of the 80s.
Yeah.
And he didn't get a lot of credit for what he, I think, was bringing to television, even though he was absurd and he was on situation comedies.
He was on, what's it called,
and,
Once
Yeah, and he also did a talk show with
One Day at a Time, right?
With Tammy Faye Baker as well,
right,
which
right.
I actually liked a lot.
Get out of here.
I'm not surprised.
No, but I do think he was sort of, he was kind of like the who was the Hollywood Square guy? Paul Lynn. He was like the Paul Lynn of the 80s in a way.
Yeah.
And for me, watching that, I was like, that's cool. I like
sure.
that there's a big old queen on TV.
Sure. Okay.
And he wasn't really a punchline, right?
No, I mean, he was in some ways, in some times, but like, he owned it.
I think he was.
Brent, before you go, I just want to add in a couple of female names so it doesn't sound like I'm just choosing men. Sandra Bernhardt, Kim Petras. And Shonda Rhimes.
Okay. Yep. Oh, those are good. Okay, my first one, Nate Silver.
Yes, great.
Blogger for 538.
Yeah. I thought you hate him, though.
Well, I didn't like his inaccurate predictions.
In the election.
Well, he wasn't technically
He's
inaccurate.
He's the executive director of 538 now. It's a big, it's
no,
not a blog
yeah,
anymore.
Yeah.
He's the god of polling.
Yeah.
And he's openly gay, but only brings up when
relevant.
Someone will tell him that he's a straight white man, and his opinion doesn't count. And he's like, "I'm not a straight white man."
Yeah,
right.
On Twitter, he's really great. Jane Lynch.
Oh yeah,
super funny. Also very sort of like low key gay, which I appreciate. Doesn't have to rub it in your face say an H. Allen Scott.
She used to work out at the same gym I was at, and it was at Crunch in West Hollywood.
Yeah.
And we were the only two wearing like lots of clothes, and I really respected her.
I've
for
heard
that.
So many people talk about seeing her at the gym.
Yeah,
and that she like really like. Get like when she does squats, she gets like really serious about it.
Yeah, she's a big lady.
Weirdly, this wasn't so dumb. Well, growing up, we watched the show on PBS called Nature, and it was hosted by a guy named George Page. And when he died, would only be known by like 10 families worldwide because no one watched the show. We watched it every fucking Sunday. My family, I hated it. My dad loved it. It was hosted by a guy named George Page, and when he died, his obituary said he had a partner.
Oh.
And I was like, God damn, George Page, you sly devil.
Right.
Never would have guessed you were gay, which
sure.
I enjoyed. And finally, I had an... Have we talked about this? I had an obsession with female bad guys.
Mm.
And there was, in that Superman movie, I forget which one, there were like three bad guys in it. And there's a woman...
With the blonde hair?
I don't think she was blonde. She had really, closely cropped black hair.
Oh no.
And I think I know she was a bad guy in it, and when I was a kid, I was obsessed with how she was evil.
Yeah.
And I was like, she's so cool. I like wanted to be her in a weird way.
Yeah.
And to me that was kind of like it was almost like maybe I was like projecting my sexuality onto
being
her.
Fiercely evil. Especially in women, like Cruella DeVille, Little Mermaid, Ursula, like all of those characters.
Right.
All of those characters really are they're evil, but like I always responded to them because they were just so cool and flamboyant. When you brought up the George Pace, is his name?
George Page.
George Page. It's
Nature.
So funny. Now one of my favorite things is like there's a lot of out journalists on television, Don Lemon, Anderson Cooper, et cetera.
Ramin Sotuda.
Yes.
Yeah.
But what I love doing is like seeing like a random anchor, and they always promote all of their social handles and stuff, and then going to their social handle and seeing if they're gay. Because there's so many male gay newscasters and news people that like, but because they're great journalists, they don't necessarily talk about anything private.
Yeah, they don't have to say, I'm here, I'm queer.
Yeah, they just kind of exist. but yet they're still showing their very sort of queer, open lifestyle.
David Muir?
Muir? I know that's a weatherman, right?
No, he's like the.
News. No, I don't think he's gay.
I don't think he's gay.
But I do love going to their Instagram profile, being like, oh, I like
you know, I wish Brent and I have a shared affection for the journalist Matt Gutman.
Very
hot.
He is really hot.
I don't like.
He's surprisingly thirsty.
Thirsty pictures and videos that he posts lots of thirsty photos, but he's exercising like shirtless with his kids on him.
Is he straight?
Yes.
Yeah,
I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Where is he an anchor?
2020 he was
yeah.
on.
Oh, 2020. I love my DVR
he's
then.
So handsome.
I'm a John Quiñones bitch. I love a John Quiñones.
Oh my God, if Brent was a drag queen, he'd be John Quiñones.
John Quiñones.
I would
he's
love
he's like one of my favorite deep
Jan,
celebrities.
Jan Quiñones.
I would love to A, see your drag name, but also just see you in drag.
Rutherford B. Gays.
You would do good in heels. You wear heels well.
What would your aunt say? Ellen, what would Aunt Anne say about something she heard on today's episode?
My Aunt Anne would pick up on the Cabbage Patch doll and say, remember when your grandmother made you a Cabbage Patch doll because you were too poor and she added a real penis? She sewed on a little penis because they were realistic.
For real?
For real.
Did Cabbage Patch dolls smell weird?
Mine didn't.
They had a scent.
But mine was, I mean, we were so poor that we couldn't afford one. So, like, my grandma literally made me one. And she heard somewhere that they were very realistic. So she sewed on, she literally sewed a little penis and balls.
Oh, wow. Good for her.
Out of paper or like?
No, out of like cloth, like fabric and stuffing and stuff. Yeah.
My Aunt Joanne would say, I never liked Helen Hunt. Don't tell Alan.
Oh, hate her.
And Brent, what would Aunt Ramona say about something she heard today?
No one knows George Page, you idiot.
Thanks for listening to You're Making It Worse. I'm Elliot Glazer.
I am also Elliot Glazer.
And I, too, am Elliot Glazer.
A podcast network.